ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः। स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विद अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विद अवर आईज ऑलवेज सी व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। मे वी लिव अवर अलॉटेड लाइफ हेल एंड हार्टी ऑफरिंग अवर प्रेजेस अनटू दी। मे इंद्र ऑफ एंशिएंट फेम बेस्टव ऑस्पिशियसनेस ऑन ऑल ऑफ अस। मे दी ऑल नॉरिशिंग पोर्शन बी प्रोपिशियस to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure all our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have entered into the sixth and last chapter of the Prashna Upanishad. There was the sixth disciple. His name was Sukesha Bharadwaja. Sukesha means he who has very beautiful hair, and he has only one question, and that question came as a result of a previous incident that happened in his life. Most probably he was the head of a ashrama like Pippalada, conducting his own classes. One day a prince came and he asked a question, "Tell me all about the Shrodashakala Purushaha." The Purusha with 16 facets or expressions. And this Sukesha Bharadwaja did not know the answer. So he told the prince, "I'm sorry, I do not have any answer because I am completely ignorant about it. Probably this is the first time I am hearing about the 16 Kalas Purusha, Shodasha Kala Purusha. But it looks as though he was very famous. Many people consider this Sukesha Bharadwaja as what we call a vast encyclopedia, walking encyclopedia of knowledge." So the prince probably did not believe him, probably suspected that this guru is discriminating against him for some unknown reason, doesn't want. So he simply is evading the answer by saying, "I do not know." Then Sukesha explains, "My child, I am a truthful person. I know what happens when a person tells untruth. And as I mentioned, there is a rule. If anybody knows about something and refuses to convey it, pass it on to another deserving person, Shraddhalu, Sishya, he will be committing a grave sin. He will be incurring naraka, hell, suffering. That is the rule, law. That is applicable in every field of life. You have money, you don't distribute it to others. You have food, you don't distribute it to others. You have some knowledge, you want to keep as a copyright, private, to for your own selfish purposes, and that is not right. You have knowledge, you do not want to share with us, with anybody. Therefore, I know I am not speaking an untruth. Genuinely, truthfully, I do not know. And we know that he did not know. So, he convinced the prince, "Had I known, I would not have told a lie by saying that I am ignorant of it." And the prince understood. He bowed before him and probably appreciated him for being so truthful, and he went away. So through this small peg of a story, the Upanishad wants to convey two important points. One point is that truthfulness is God Himself. Anybody doesn't have that truthfulness, the question of His being happy, either in this world or in any world, is nil. Second point we have to learn, that if I am ignorant of it, and then I must try to learn, and then so that I can pass it on to others. After all, a person who knows much, he has got better intelligence, and if that person goes to a teacher, he will be able to grasp it properly. Probably he will be able to convey it to others in future. If anybody like this prince or the prince himself comes and then asks the same question, truthfully he will be able to convey the message. Of course, we are presuming the disciple is sincere and capable. So, the greatness of truthfulness, that is why even in our central government, Satyameva Jayate Nanritam, that has been taken as the motto of our entire nation. And that comes from lot of previous ancestors like Ashoka, etc. And we have learned so many wonderful qualities. And what is the second lesson? Whatever I have, I must share with others, and thereby I will be earning punyam. And punyam is actually going to benefit me only. So this is an important point. If we are sharing with somebody, we are not really losing it, we are only gaining it. In illustration of this, there was a great soul who was a Negro scientist, and he discovered so many things. Is George Washington Carver was his name, and he never patented anything. And when somebody asked, you could have minted practically billions in today's value if you had copyrighted. Then he said, no, the whole knowledge belongs to God, and God has given to me out of His infinite boundless grace, and I cannot copyright it because it belongs to somebody else. How many scientists have stolen knowledge from others to become rich, to become well-known, to be selfish? In fact, the modern radio technology was discovered by Sir Jagadish Chandra Bose. Somebody else had stolen and then got the name. But actually it was Jagadish Chandra Bose. This kind of fraud is going all along. People do not understand. Karma phala will strike back at some point or the other. So this was a background story, and we know he was truthful, and I mentioned that point. How do we know he was truthful? Because the first and only question he asked was this in the sixth chapter, that this prince came and asked me, I did not know about Shodash Kala Purusha. Please tell me about this Purusha. Before I go into it, as I had already gone through some sections earlier, Kala usually means part. But the disciple was not asking. He was a Brahmanishta, Brahma Parayana. He wants only the highest reality, Nirguna Brahma, Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is one. Without a second, He cannot have any parts. He is infinite. Infinite doesn't have any parts. He is Paripurna. Therefore, the question is, this Kala doesn't mean part. What does Kala mean? Kala means expression, the manifestation. What is the point? The point is, when you see a beautiful pot, then naturally you will become curious that how did this pot come about? Then we have to tell this pot is made up of clay. And one who understands the karana, cause of pot, one, he has the knowledge, then he has the knowledge of all pots, and he can make a pot. He will be an enlightened person. He will be a wise person. So, we are already in the manifestation in this universe with a body mind, and this is what is called the manifestation of Brahman. When a Jivanmukta understands everything is Brahman, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, after he has gained the knowledge which we usually call Nirvikalpa Samadhi, where he experiences, if he happens to still come back into this old body and mind, first of all, he says, this is not my body, this is not my mind, this belongs to God only. In fact, God only enters. This individual has melted into the whole ocean. That example will come, just as any river, any number of rivers, once merge in the ocean, they thereafter are not called rivers, but are called only the one by one name. 100 rivers, only one name. Samudra, that's all. They become one, leaving their name, form, taste, etc. It, like that, a Jivan Mukta is one who has become Brahman. If anybody still has the body mind coming down, as we call it verbally, from the Samadhi state, he'll be called a Jivan Mukta. He is not the old person, he is God himself. And then what would be his vision? The vision of Brahman is only Brahman. The vision of an evil person is only evil. The vision of a good person will be only a goodness. The vision of a lover is only love. So, we have to understand, whatever color our mind has been plumed with, painted with, we see the whole world, when we are angry, everybody is bad. When we are good, everybody is good. When we are happy, everyone is happy. When we are unhappy, everyone is unhappy. The whole world is nothing but a model, like our face in a mirror. You frown, your reflection will be frowning. You smile, your reflection will be smiling. You are well-dressed, the reflection is well-dressed. You are ill-dressed, the reflection will be ill-dressed. What are we talking about? That our mind is our entire jagat. We are already in this, but is it something separate from Brahman? No. The whole universe is nothing but Brahman, and this Brahman is an individual human being. It applies to everything else, but especially a human being. A human being consisting of 16 parts. So first find out, what are these 16 parts? These 16 parts are the effects of a cause called Brahman. When we analyze all these 16 parts, which we call a Jivatma, and a Jivatma is consisting of 16 parts, then we find there is no Jivatma, there is only Paramatma. So, like a ladder or a step ladder, by climbing step after step, we reach the roof and find out finally. Sri Ramakrishna illustrates in this way. I will explain it to you shortly, that when a person reaches the roof, until that period, he thinks the stair is different, the floors are different, but the roof is different. Once he reaches the roof, he understands the roof is exactly made up of the same materials, like the staircase, like the different floors, etc. It is to illustrate, everything is made up of the same thing. That is what said, Eke naiva mrutpindena sarva mrit jnanam sambhavati. Once you know, examine one pot, comes to know that it is nothing but clay, then you can multiply any number of pots. All the pots made out of clay will be nothing but clay. Only vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. Only name, form and qualities are what distinguishes. This is small pot, that is big pot, this is round pot, that is square pot, etc. So, what are we talking about? Sukesha Bharadwaja asked him, what is the nature of the Shodashakala Purusha? That was the question put to him by another prince, a seeker, an inquirer. So, now the same question was put to Bhagavan Vipalada. And then, what is the purpose? I want to know about this 16-faceted personality called Jivatma. Once I know, just as I know the pot, then I know everything about the clay, then I know every pot in this world. So, through one pot, go to the cause of the pot, and then thereby, by that one real knowledge of the pot, we have the knowledge of the every other pot. Apply it to the whole world. If I know what is this world made up of, what is my body made up of, what is my sense organs are made up of, what is my mind made up of, that's all. Only body, mind and the world. And we surprisingly we come to the conclusion these are nothing but only that Nirguna Parabrahman, because everything has come from him, everything is he, and we all go back to that Brahman only. And I don't know whether I am right. You know, there is a, especially in Bengal, in tantric system, there is a way of worshipping a young woman. It's called Shodashi Puja. When a girl attains to the age of 16, she is still a Kumari, unmarried girl, and that girl has to be worshipped. What is the point in it? She is consisting of 16 parts, 16 facets, 16 manifests. Of whom? If we do not know of whom, then we see a body, we see different parts, we see different qualities, we see different ways, thoughts, mind, etc. But once we come to know, all of them without exception are nothing but emanations of the Divine Mother. The purpose of worshipping a Shodashi is to transcend these divisions, which are nothing but manifestations, vibhutis, glories of the Divine Mother. We see that every woman, every girl is none other than the Divine Mother herself. This is the real symbolism. That's what Sri Ramakrishna did by worshipping Holy Mother. Even though she was 18 years, it doesn't matter. She was the purest person in this whole world. And then we also can recollect Ramakrishna at the end of the worship surrendered himself. He could not surrender himself to a finite, limited being, but to the universal cause of the entire universe, which is the Jagan Mata, Jagat Janani, in the form of Rajarajeshwari or Tripura Sundari. And then he uttered the hymn, praised Sarva Mangala Mangalye. And then second verse, Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam, you are the creatrix, from you came the Srishti, you are the maintaining the Srishti, and everything is nothing but you. Going back means to realize our nature. I am not separate from my cause. So, I hope I am conveying you, who is this Shodash Kala Purusha? Nothing but Nirguna Brahman. But I am in search of Nirguna Brahman. And where do I search? You search what is available. What is available? This entire universe, this body, this mind. But don't think this body, mind are separate from Brahman. They are nothing but manifestation of Brahman. And that is the idea. Where is that Purusha? So, what is called metaphorically, figuratively, it is said, he is the Purusha who is within. This is only to guide the person, because an enlightened student, if he is told, he who is within you, he who is animating you, making you alive, he is Brahman. He will have terrible doubts about the scriptures, about the Guru. Me, I am a fool. I don't know about anything. I don't know about my wife, my husband, my children, my body, my mind, much less anything else. How can I claim that I am the Brahman? But the wise teacher says, you work in this way. Find out any part of you and then accept it as a karya, that is, effect. Every effect must necessarily emanate from a cause. Find out the cause. And you will see, ultimately, if we trace, the whole universe has come from, my body has come from food. It is sustained by food. And it is nothing but food. Ultimately, it is manifesting as a food. Then you analyze. What about the other person? That person is also made up of food. What about the mountains? That is also made up of food. Food means here, Bhumi, the earth. The entire physical universe is a manifestation of the earth, nothing but the earth. So once we come to know everything is manifestation of earth, I identify myself not with this body or mind, separating myself from everything else, but identifying myself to the earth. And we have reached only midway, not the final cause. But this earth itself is an effect. I will understand that when I identify myself with the earth, it is called Bhumi and the Prithvi. And this Prithvi is only an effect. Every effect must have its cause. So the inquiry goes further. What is the cause from which this, which is the manifestation of, which is the cause whose manifestation is this earth and finds water, jala. And what is the cause of jala? Agni, heat, fire, light. And what is the cause of the fire? And vayu, the air. And what is the cause of the air? Akasha, Mahakasha, the universal space, infinite space. And what is the cause of this Akasha? Because it is an effect. Then Atmano Akasha Sambhutaha, Akashad Vayuhu, Vayur Agnihi, Agne Rapaha, Adhya Prithivi, Prithivyam Oshadayaha, Oshadibhyo Annam, Annat Rasamaya Purushaha. Finally, we find that is the Atma. And through this analysis, intelligent analysis of these 16 kalas, we find we are nothing but the earth, the water, the fire, the air, and the akasha. And these are, again, effects. All these effects have come from the Mahakarana, the ultimate cause, the causeless cause, which is called the Atma. And that is why that Purushaha is the Atma, and he is manifesting in 16 different parts. The whole universe, when we intelligently try to understand it, we find the whole Purusha can be understood in the form of, as the manifestation of the Brahman or Atma. That is what is the essence of this. Once we understand that it is the effect of the Brahman, and effect is nothing but the cause, and the cause is Brahman. Therefore, Aham Brahmasmi, and therefore, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Not only me, but everything is Brahman. But first step is, I am Brahman. The next step is, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. How beautifully this analysis is done. If you have heard this beautiful analysis, then I can say that we can proceed forward now. Let us proceed forward. So, the sixth chapter starts with this question, Sukesha Bharadvaja Adhainam Sukesha Bharadvaja Papraja. Bhagavan Hiranyanabha Kausalyaha Rajaputraha Mam Upetya Etam Prashnam Aprachata Shodashakalam Bharadvaja Purusham Vetha Tam Aham Kumaram Abruvam Naham Imam Veda Yadi Aham Imam Avedisham Katham Te Na Avakshamiti Samulova Esha Parisushyati Yo Anrutam Avivadati Tasmat Narham Anrutam Vaktum Sa Tushnim Ratham Aruhya Pra Pavaraja Tam Tvam Prichyami Vasau Purushai. I will first read out the simple English translation, and then I will come to the analysis of the Sanskrit shloka. As I have done yesterday, I will just be very brief. Here is the first question of the Sukesha Bharadvaja. Then Sukesha, a son of or belonging to the lineage of Bharadvaja, asked his guru Pippalada, "Hey venerable sir Pippalada, there was a prince called Hiranyanabha. He was a prince of Kosala Rajya. Once he approached me and put this question to me. Hey Bharadvaja," the prince was addressing, "O Rishi Bharadvaja, do you know the Purusha possessed of 16 limbs? Shodasha Kala Purusham Prichyami. I want to know. Why do I ask? Because I am ignorant of him. I want to learn of him from you." This was the question of the prince of Kausala, Kosala Rajya. To that prince, I, Sukesha, said, "I do not know him." at this point, maybe the prince is not believing or some doubt has come. So this Shukesha Bharadvaja was bound, forced to explain that I am not speaking a lie. That is what he is telling. Had I known him, why should I have not told you? That means if I had known him, I would have given you that knowledge without any expectation. Anyone who utters a falsehood dries up root and all. I know that any liar, he will suffer a lot in this world. Therefore, I know that, and if I tell a lie, I am bound to suffer, and I don't want to suffer. Therefore, I cannot afford to utter a falsehood. Hearing this, the prince was convinced that Shukesha Bharadvaja was telling the truth. Silently, he went away, riding on the chariot. He came, he asked the question, and he understood, this person doesn't know, so I will not get answer. So he went away. Maybe he will approach somebody else. We do not know. But this is the incident Shukesha narrated to his guru, Pippalada. Now, hey Bhagavan Pippalada, O guru of that Shodasha Kala Purusha, about whom I was asked by the prince, and I do not know anything about him. I ask you, what am I asking? Where does he exist? Where is that Purusha located? That is to say, does such a Purusha really exist? And if he is existing, just as any existing object can be located somewhere or the other, where is that Purusha located? Why? Because now I understand that if anybody knows about this 16 Kalas Purusha, then it is what I am seeking, what all my fellow students are seeking. I came to know it is Brahman. So, is simple way of rephrasing is that I want to know how to realize Brahman. I want to know because I do not know about him. I am in this world. I am bound. I know about this world. I know I am the body. I know I am the mind. I know I am in this world. But where is that Brahman? Where is God? Where is that Purusha located? In other words, please tell me about that Purusha and how I can realize it. This is the essence of the question. I know the Brahman exists, but where is he located? What is that? You want to find somebody and then someone gives you information. So this person, he lives at such and such a place and then that is the location. Naturally, if you need to meet him, you will have to go to that location. So I want to know about Brahman and I do not know where Brahman is located. Please enlighten me. So the student had this one question and in answer, the guru is going to give the reply. What was the question? Who and where is that Shodasha Kala Purusha? Here, the word where not only denotes the place, how to meditate upon that Brahman, but how can I become through upasana that Purusha? Now I will come a very simple explanation. Atha means thereafter. Thereafter means whereafter. After the fifth student was satisfactorily answered, the lost disciple, Shukesha Bharadvaja, he came. Enam Shukesha Bharadvaja paprachya. Shukesha Bharadvaja, that is beautiful haired person from the lineage of Bharadvaja, ha enam praprachya. Enam means his guru, Pippalada, paprachya. He asked him, Bhagavan, he is addressing. Bhagavan means you are Brahman. You are God realized soul. And so you know. Hiranyanabha Kausalyaha Rajaputra Mam Upetya. Once upon a time, Hiranyanabha, and he is the prince of Kausalya, he approached me and he asked me this question. What was the question? Shodashakalam, he Bharadvaja, O Shukesha, Shodashakalam Purusham Vetha. Do you know Vetha? Do you know Purusham? That Purusha who is having 16 manifestations. But I did not know. Tam Aham Kumaram. Kumara means he must be younger in age. Who? That prince. Abruvam. I told that young man, that child, Aham Abruvam. What did I say? Aham imam shodasha kala purusham na veda. I do not know about the shodasha kala purusha. Maybe there was some doubt, or maybe the Upanishad wants to highlight the virtue of truth speaking, truth seeking will be the result of truth speaking. So great emphasis has been made on the truthfulness, because only a truthful person will reach the ultimate truth, which is God. Mahatma Gandhi used to say, I do not say God is a truth. I say truth is God. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, if anybody observes truthfulness for 12 years in thought, in speech, and in action, he will be a realized soul. And if you see so many monks, so many spiritual aspirants who are still not realized, definitely you should know that they are not observing truthfully. What does it mean? It's we are not talking about merely truth speaking, which is also very rare in this world, but we are talking truth seeking has not come to most of us. So it is not that we are damned. It is that first quality, first spiritual characteristic is truth speaking, be truthful. This is what modern psychologists call authenticity. You be authentic. You like science, then you strive in that direction. You like music, then strive in that direction. You like some other art, go in that direction. That is what your heart desires. You make your mind also desire. Do not judge. Oh, if I become an artist or a writer, I may not be successful. I may not be able to earn a lot of money. I may not be able to be famous in this world. Throw away all those considerations. When your heart desires something, move in that direction and you are likely to find meaning, fulfillment in your life. So much is involved in this understanding. So the prince perhaps did not understand, or the Upanishad is trying to emphasize the value of truth, and that is probably that one. And then the prince was convinced, and then what did he do? That the mantra continues, if knowing something, I tell a lie that I do not know it, then that is called untruthfulness. And a person who speaks untruthfulness thus is not only deceiving the other person, actually that person is deceiving himself. Samulaha, his entire root, his happiness, his possessions, his health, his personality, his body, his mind. What happens? Parisushyati, dries up as it. Whose? Yo anrutam avivadati. He who practices, speaks. Anruta means that which is not rita. Rita means that which is the true. Tasmat, therefore, I know it very well. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to create bad karma for myself. Anrutam vaktum na arhami. I do not wish to speak untruth. I spoke to you the truth. And we know that he spoke the truth. Then what happened? Saha, that Rajakumara, Tushnim, what can he say? Because he knew that he has come to the wrong person. He could not get the answer he was seeking. So he became silent and he went back to from wherever he has come. Ratham Aruhya Pra Vavraja. He returned back. But this Bharadvaja was what is called injected. I do not know. I thought I knew many things. So he approached this Muni Pippalada, Rishi Pippalada. What does this show? This shows each one of the six disciples was a great soul. They have advanced far and they want to complete their knowledge, and that is what they want to do. And what did the Pippalada do? The rest of the mantras, which are eight actually, another seven mantras. Sixth, this second mantra is the beginning, the answer. Second to eighth mantra is the answer about this Shodasha Kala Purusha. Second mantra, Tasmai Saha Uvacha Iha Eva Antasharire Somya Sapurusho Yasmin Etaha Shodasha Kalaha Prabhavanti. So to him, to Sukesha Bharadvaja, Guru Pippalada answered, Oh, Soumya. Soumya means a very adhikari purusha, a good person, a truthful person, a truth-seeking person, a sincere person, a person endowed with Shraddha. You asked this question, where is that purusha? Where shall I search? Shall I go to the Himalayas? Shall I go to Mount Meru? Shall I go to Swargaloka or Brahmaloka? No, my son, here itself, on this earth, in this place itself, inside your body, inside every body, outside every body, is that Purusha in whom or who is originating these 16 digits, in whom originate these 16 digits or limbs or kalas or manifested. That Purusha about whom you want, he is inside you, he is outside you, he is none other than you. Now relate this one with Hiranyakashipu's question. Where is your Narayana? Exactly the same question. And then this Prahlada was like Pippalada. He said, he is inside you, he is outside you, he is everything, there is nothing separate from him. But mainly, he is inside you. Because what is outside, we are likely to experience it. What is inside, we cannot experience it. It is as if hidden within oneself. So the Hiranyakashipu got angry. Do you mean to say, this Narayana whom I am seeking, is he within this pillar? Yes, he is everywhere, but he is inside the pillar also. But you seek him inside the pillar, because the pillar acts as the greatest instrument for us to have the darshan of Narayana. What did Hiranyakashipu do? Hiranyakashipu is the greatest spiritual aspirant like this Sukesha Bharadwaja. And he broke that pillar. And out came that Shodash Kala Purusha. Of course, there in the Bhagavatam, we don't get that name. Out came Narasimha Murthy. What Narasimha Murthy? Ugra Narasimha Murthy. Who is this Narasimha Murthy? Guru Narasimha Murthy. And why did he become Ugra? Because my son, you are not able to follow my teachings, but I will destroy, I will cut off your bondage for you. God cannot destroy God. Because if we are all Atman, Atman cannot destroy Atman. But Atman can destroy Anatman. Light can destroy darkness. So, Jnana, knowledge can destroy ignorance. Here we have to understand it, that God in the form of the Guru, Narasimha, he came out to destroy the Ajnana. Why do we say Ajnana? Because, O Hiranyakashipu, if you know who you are, if you know your body, your mind is nothing but a manifestation of me, that Narayana. But since you are a baby, I will carry you wherever you want to go to Narayana. That is, the only way is by breaking your egotism. Egotism means ignorance. Avidya, asmita, raga, vesha, abhinivesha. That is how Patanjali words it. So, if you recollect that Bhagavata story, you can understand this very easily. Where are you searching? What you are searching is within you. You don't need to go anywhere outside. This is beautifully said. Unfortunately, the Creator has created all the sense organs outward looking, but kaschid dhiraha pratyagatmanam aikshat avrutta chakshuhu. That he closed his eyes, that means he stopped searching outside, he turned his attention inward, he turned his search inward, and he found what he was seeking because he found out he is the Atman. It is the same process, explained in different words. Tasmai. So, to him, Pippalada said, O Soumya, very friendly one, very beloved one, dear disciple, endowed with all spiritual qualities, and you love me so much, and I also love you so much, because I am a mirror, and you see your loveliness reflected through me. Here in itself, inside the body of everybody, of yourself, is that Purusha in whom originate these 16 digits or limbs. Tasmai, to the Sukesha Bharadvaja, Saha పిప్పలాద ఋషి గురుహు హౌ వాచ. సో హీ రిప్లైడ్, వాట్ డిడ్ హీ సే? ఇహ ఏవ అంత శరీరే, ఇహ రైట్ నౌ రైట్ హియర్ అంత శరీరే విద్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ బాడీ, యు డోంట్ నీడ్ టు సెర్చ్ ఎనీవేర్. హే సౌమ్య, ఏ బిలౌడ్ వన్, సహ పురుష దట్ పురుష దట్ షోడశ కళా పురుష ఆఫ్ హోమ్ యు ఆర్ సీకింగ్ ఫర్ నా ఫర్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ హోమ్ యూ పుట్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ ఎస్మిన్ ఇన్ హోమ్ ఆర్ అఫ్ హోమ్ ఏతా షోడశ కళా ప్రభవంతి. ఆల్ ది షోడశ కళాస్ విచ్ యు వాంటెడ్ టు నో, విచ్ ఆర్ ది మేనిఫెస్టేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ దట్ నిర్గుణ బ్రహ్మ విచ్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు ఆన్సర్ ఇన్ ది ఫోర్త్ మంత్ర, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ belonging to that Purusha, that one Purusha only is manifesting in the form of all the 16 manifestations. So, by analyzing your own personality, ultimately you are bound to know that you are none other than that Purusha, Shodasha Kala Purusha, of whom you are asking. The Shodasha Kala, 16 facets or manifestations, are the way, the steps, the staircase through which you can, if you analyze rationally with faith in my teachings, faith in the scriptures, you are going to realize. The same idea every Satan says bears fruit. I have quoted many times Kabir Das, beautiful bhajan. Moko kaha dhunde re bande, mai to tere paas mein ho. Hey, O fool, where are you searching for me? Like this Shukesha Bharadwaja, like this Rajikumara, he is not only besides you, he is you, he is inside you, and there is nothing other than him. Kaha dhunde re bande, a fool, where are you searching? Now, let us see what Swami Vivekananda had to say. There is a beautiful poem by Swami Vivekananda. He is telling, there is the title of the poem, The Living God. He who is in you and outside you, who works through all hands, who walks on all feet, whose body are all ye, him worship and break all other idols. He who is at once the high and low, the sinner and the saint, both God and worm, him worship, visible, knowable, real, omnipresent, break all other idols. Ye fools who neglect the living God and his infinite reflections, kalas, with which the world is full, while ye run after imaginary shadows that lead alone to fights and quarrels, him worship, the only visible, break all other idols. Where are you searching? Wherever you look, sarvam kalvidam brahma. Look here, he says, his infinite reflections. This is what exactly the question was. Kalas, infinite reflections, all those infinite reflections, including what is made, what has made the body, the mind, and the whole world, it is condensed into the 16 divisions, that's all. 16 divisions of Purusha. What did Sri Ramakrishna say? Once he was answering the same question, where is God? And Sri Ramakrishna always carried a towel on his shoulders, and he took out the towel and put it in front of his face and said, look, we are so near, and yet you cannot see my face. That means what? That means even though the God is so near, God is everything, you are seeing nothing but God, but you cannot see. So, I reminded you one beautiful story of Tolstoy. Once, Jesus appeared in the dream of a cobbler and said, tomorrow I will come to you. Be prepared to feed me. And the cobbler, who was a great Christian, maybe his profession was making shoes, repairing shoes, but he was one of the real Christians, endowed with saintliness. He believed in the dream. He prepared the best food he could, and he sat in his shop waiting for Jesus Christ to appear. First, a hungry boy had come, and then he begged, and the shopkeeper gave some food. Afterwards, a dog came, and he gave food to the dog. By the time, by the minute, he was getting frustrated. Jesus promised, already it is afternoon, he has not come. And it was before sunset, an old beggar, poor beggar woman had come, and the way she was looking, and then he threw out the entire food, getting very upset. You promised me, you liar, and you have not come. He closed his shop, went inside his house, and still angry, he went to bed. He had another dream, and Jesus Christ came and blessed him, and the cobbler was furious. You liar, you promised me, whole day I was waiting, and you did not fulfill your promise. And Jesus Christ smiled sweetly and said, why, my son, I came to you 3 times, and you fed me wholeheartedly. First I came as a hungry boy, second I came as a dog, hungry dog, third I came in the form of a beggar, but you did not see me. I only have put on those dress, acting like that. I appeared to you 3 times. One Swami was telling, suppose some devotee is praying to Narayana, I want to see your four-handed form, O Narayana, please come. And Narayana can come in any one of these forms. Of course, he will not reject. But at supposing, says, my child, my devotee, cannot recognize me, let me appear in my four-handed forms. And how does he come? Like any other human being, 4 hands will be there, and a little bit heavy, because it is pure 24 karat gold only, all the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, and all those things, and he is struggling under the weight, and this fellow, Bhakta, says, oi, from which drama company you are coming from? He will be shouting at him. If he comes in that form, he will be thinking you are a fake. He is coming in another form, doesn't recognize at all. What does all these things remind us? Remind us that God exists, God alone exists, nothing else other than God exists, but we fail to see that we are God, everybody is God, everything. That is the ultimate reality. In the Brihadaranyaka, this Jyotir Brahmana, Swayam Jyotir Brahmana, this beautiful, in the third chapter, seventh section, fourth mantra onwards it comes, and this is one of the favorite mantras of Swami Vivekananda. Yah prithivyam tishtan, prithivya antaraha, yam prithivi na veda, yasya prithivi shariram, yah prithivim antaro yamayate, yeshate atma antaryami amrutaha. He who inhabits the earth, but is within it, whom the earth does not know, whose body is the earth, and he who controls the earth from within the earth, and he is the internal ruler, your own immortal self. You are asking, where is that Brahman? So, he who is everywhere. And it goes on, another, you apsatishtan athyavantaraha, he who inhabits water, but is within the water, is the water, whom doesn't know that the water, I do not exist. The water is nothing but Narayana, Brahman, whose body is water, and who controls the water element from within, who is the internal ruler, and he is your own internal ruler, Antaryami, and he is your immortal self. Every scripture, every saint is telling that everything is God. So Pippalada is replied, who and where is that Purusha? Who is the Purusha? He is inside you, he is outside you, he is you and me. Yes. What about my body? That is also manifestation of Brahman. What about my mind? That is manifestation of Brahman. What about all my emotions? They are all manifestations of Brahman. What about my ego? That is also manifestation of Brahman. So everything is body, mind is Brahman. But what about the entire world? That is also Brahman. And that is what so beautifully voiced out, clarified in the Isavasya Upanishad, which derives its name from the very first mantra, Isavasya Medagum Sarvam, Etkincha Jagatyam Jagat, Tena Tyaktena Punjita, Magridaha, Kasya Sviddhanam. The whole entire universe, Jagat that we say, are nothing but pure Brahman. So, in order to explain, the third mantra comes here, Sa Iksham Chakre, Kasmin aham utkramantaha utkranto bhavish kasmin va pratishthite pratishthasyami. He, that Shodashakala Purusha, the Paramatma deliberated. What is it by whose departure I shall depart, and as a result of whose continuance shall I remain established? What is the meaning of this? Sa iksham chakre. Saha means that Bhagavan, Saguna Brahma, of course, iksham chakre. He saw, he deliberated, he thought deeply. Kasmin aham utkrantaha utkranto bhavishyami. What is it by the departure of whom I will be able to depart? And what is it by the continuance of whom I remain continuing in this life? In other words, how can I be alive and how can I be dead? So both states I want to experience. And he deliberated. And this is the question he himself is thinking, deep thinking. And that is what the question means. What does it really mean? Very, very simple and beautiful. How can I manifest myself? How I, the infinite, can become finite? How I can continue my leela as the finite world, finite people, all jivatmas, both living and non-living beings, and how can I contain or conduct this Jagannataka and then enjoy it for some time, and then when the time comes, how can I come back from that state? That is to say, I am the creator and I am the created. I am the sustainer of myself. As a creator, I create. As the sustainer, I sustain myself. And ultimately, when the play is over, I want to go back, and this eternal samsara chakra in the form of the creation and maintenance, sustenance and then dissolution is going on in the form of Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. So he deliberated. And what did I do? Why should I waste my time? After all, I have created, I have done this drama many times. I have created this world many times. So in another Upanishad, we get this answer. So this dhata, yatha purvam akalpayat. The Rig Veda we get. And then he thought, oh, I remember. I have gone through the same process. I have created this world. And he remembered. Oh, let me get that file. What did I do? And just to refresh my memory. And the file came up on the universal computer. And because instantaneously he gets the file. It is all present, not hidden, not zipped, not on what is called thrown into the dustbin or recycle bin. Is all the time available. As soon as he thought, okay, oh, this is how he became. What did I do? I became the Panchabhutas. I became the body. I became the sense organs. I became the mind. I became the prana. I became the thoughts. I became this entire worlds, 14 worlds. I became karmas, I became the karmaphala, and that is the stuff of the entire universe, and that is what the answer is going to come. So what is the mantra 3? He deliberated that Saguna Brahma or Ishvara or Jagannatha, Iksham Chakre, deliberated, remembered that this Srishti is not the first time, this will not be the last time, it has been created many times. So how can I, the infinite, the one, can become the many? How can I, the infinite, can appear as if seemingly finite, seemingly with different manifestations or parts, different lokas, different bodies, different minds, etc. And the time will come, I will run this show for some time, and after some time, individually, I will get out. In other words, where from I have come, and who is sustaining me, what is my real nature, and every individual jiva will go through the same process, and then he realizes that it is I who is the creator of the waking state, dreamless state. This is called Karma Siddhanta of the Hindus. And then now in the fourth mantra, we get that beautiful description of the 16 colors. What are the 16 colors? It is nothing but a description of the entire world consisting of the living and non-living. And in the living especially, in the human being especially, the external world made up of the Panchabhutas, and the Panchabhutas manifesting as sense organs, and as the mind, as the prana, of course, as the prana is the beginning, as we saw in the first manifestation is prana, as we saw in the very first chapter of this Prashna Upanishad. So, from there, I became alive, created this ego, this body, this mind, the entire world, and the instruments through which I can connect myself with the entire world. That is to say, the entire world is a show, it is all the manifestation, and this entire world of the sense objects as well as the body mind are classified, divided into 16 parts, respectively called Shodasha Kala Purusha, and this we will talk about in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Mohar Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.